This morning, as I came here to talk to Georgie, because she was getting ready to be received into the church and confirmation, here is what she said. I'm joining the family. It's good to be part of the family. Although, when we planned today as being the day for Georgie's reception into the church, I hadn't yet looked at today's readings. And I think it couldn't have been a better day to welcome you into the church, because today is the feast of the Universal Church. It's the dedication, it's the feast of the dedication of the Basilica in Rome, known as St. John Lateran. And the question that you might ask is, what? What does this church in Rome have to do with my life today? And in fact, is it so important that we keep aside the readings from today, the 32nd Sunday of the year, and let these readings and this feast of a church far away in Rome take precedence? Well, the answer, of course, is yes, because here we are celebrating this feast. But why? The Basilica of St. John Lateran really is the cathedral of Rome. We think of the papacy and Rome as St. Peter's. But that's not what it is. Really, the cathedral of Rome and the Bishop of Rome is the Pope. And so in many ways, today's feast is symbolic of the unity of the Roman Catholic Church, the one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. So this cathedral that was first dedicated in 324 AD by Pope Sylvester connects us, Immaculate Conception Parish, in the year 2014, in the most marvelous of ways, and connects Georgie, this individual person who is now becoming part of the family. So from Jesus Christ, who founded the church, to 324, to 2014, to Georgie and to all of us, there is this connection of the life that flows within us through the Church of Jesus Christ. That's what we are celebrating. So if you love the church, it's like celebrating your birthday or your anniversary or something that excites you. So I hope by the end of this homily, you will be excited. I want to use today's first reading, where Ezekiel sees this vision, as a way to guide us through this feast and talk about the temple, the church, our baptism, our individual lives. Did you hear that first reading? Ezekiel sees a vision of this temple, and from the threshold of the temple, water begins to trickle out. And this water then flows through the east gate, the south gate, all the gates of the temple, and then finally becomes a river. And wherever this river goes, there is life. Fabulous image. So I'm going to use that imagery to talk about my 3 points of how we can be the temple, the church of God. So, first, I want to talk about the human person. The human person as being a church unto himself or herself. So let me get back to this image of water flowing from the temple in Ezekiel's vision. Water, what does that connect you immediately to? Baptism. All of us who are baptized were baptized in water and the Spirit. So Ezekiel's vision then is directly connected to the baptism of Jesus and our own baptism. Now you understand why Paul says in today's second reading, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because in baptism, we receive the very life of God. Do you not know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. Basically means that every Christian is a church unto himself or herself. Sometimes we think of each one of us being a brick in the church. That's also good imagery, but we can even take that further. Each one of us is a church unto himself or herself. And so our calling is to holiness. Just like a temple is holy, each individual person is called to be holy. And holiness comes from making our individual lives a dwelling place for God. Imagine this in your minds. Each individual person as the dwelling place of God, and a holiness coming from the fact that God dwells in us. Now this means many things, many implications. It has many implications. First, that I take myself seriously. I am just not another person. I'm not just another creature of God. For goodness sake, God dwells within me. I got to take myself seriously. That I take care enough about myself to pray, to worship God, to rest, to eat right, to exercise, take care of this temple of God. And secondly, also think about that if each one of us is a temple, each one of us is a tributary of God's river. So probably there are about 250 people present here today, this morning. How fabulous it would be that each one of us thinks of ourselves as this life-giving river of God that is set loose on Dayton. Wherever you go, take love, take healing, take God's presence, take holiness. And if 1,000 people attend Mass here in this church this weekend, imagine 1,000 people being set loose on Dayton as the river that brings life. So that's the first implication of today's feast. You find the connection now between Rome and you and Jesus Christ in you? That's the connection. The Spirit of God in you? That's the connection. Secondly, I want to talk about the home. And for a moment, think about your home. Not just your house. Think about your home. Think about the space. And think about the people you live with. Our home is our most prized possession. The space and the people we make our home with. That is, for me, of course, my family and going home every year. Oof. It's a little bit of heaven there. Now, in the Catholic tradition, the home is also sacred space. In fact, in the early Christian era, church and home were the same thing. There weren't these big churches. There was persecution, and people didn't have the resources. They gathered in their homes. So the homes were the first churches. And yet today, the home is the most threatened of all spaces. Our very busy schedules can sometimes make homes like a hotel. People come and go and eat when they want, and that's how life has become. With technology and social media literally at our fingertips, our homes can be very lonely places. Yes, there are people who live together, but The home where each person should be loved beyond measure can also be the place where domestic abuse of children, spouse, and the aged can take place. And it does. How many times have we taken our family for granted? That happens too. And so today, I think today the feast, and I am inviting you to think of your home as a temple, a church, a sacred space. Think about your home as something holy. And are there things at your home that you would want to banish, like Jesus banished anything that desecrated his father's home? This is my father's house, and anything that was not part of it, he says, I want to banish it. So I'm inviting you today, like Jesus, to reclaim the sanctity of your home. Banish those things that can destroy the home. Instead, I'm asking you, as a home, as people who live together and are called by God to be together, to pray together. Please take the time to pray together. Eat together, be silly together, to be grateful for one another, and sometimes to suffer with one another. I'm inviting you to make your home a church. Thirdly, I want to talk about the universal church, the temple of God. And I'm very interested in this feast, especially now when the church is in the midst of really phenomenal changes. The Pope Francis era church is engaged in an intense and sometimes bitter debate of how we imagine church. That's the biggest question in the minds of many Christians and Catholics. The Pope Francis era church. What is becoming of the church? So today we ask ourselves, how can we imagine the church? Now, how does Ezekiel imagine God's work and the temple? Here is a temple from which life-giving water flows, and the river goes through this, even into the sea, and even the sea is refreshed. Wherever this river goes, there are fruits, there's life, there's goodness, there's hope, there's healing. And I find a parallel between Ezekiel's vision and Pope Francis's vision of the church. And I want you to hear what he says. Pope Francis says, I can clearly see that what the church needs today is the ability to heal wounds and warm the hearts of faithful. It needs to be by their side. I see the church as a field hospital after battle. These are not empty words. He's imagining what the church should look like. So think about this river, this life-giving river. But as you know, the Pope has been very strongly rebuked by some people within the church who think that he's diluting the mission of the church by compromising age-old doctrines to accommodate people. Especially at the synod, even some high-ranking cardinals said that Pope Francis had lost his way, and that the church was like a ship without a rudder. You know, very interesting times for the church. Now, I'm not sure on which side of the debate you are on. Clearly for me, and I'm talking for me, the church is like a river that brings life to those around it. The church must bring hope, love, reconciliation, and healing in the world. I want to see this parish community, Immaculate Conception Parish, I want to see this parish community as a river in this neighborhood. Anybody who feels rejected, anybody who feels helpless, anybody who feels not accepted, anybody who's seeking holiness, anybody who wants to get in touch with God, anybody who wants reconciliation and healing and love and hope, darn it, come to my church. If we are not in the business of giving hope and reconciliation and healing, then I'm done. My priesthood was a waste of time. And I'm not basing it on Pope Francis alone. I'm basing it on the gospel and Jesus Christ, who brought hope and healing to those who were most rejected in society, both religiously and socially. I want to base my spirituality not on any ideology or on any pope, but on the church that Jesus Christ founded. And for me, it's the gospel. The gospel of hope, the gospel of love, the gospel of healing, the gospel of reconciliation. You want to celebrate that? Today's a very exciting feast. So today, recognize that you are holy and a temple of God. Recognize that your home is holy. Recognize that our church is holy and offer it to God. And may your life and your home and our parish community bring nothing less than the love, the hope, and the healing that only Jesus Christ can bring. People of God said,